Welcome to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall, a discussion of blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why it matters to you.
Hey folks, welcome into Beyond the Blockchain here with you on another Tuesday night on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Scott Tindall, joined as always by the Johnny Glenn.
Hey, hey.
Johnny, how was your week?
Busy, and I was a little ill last week. So.
Well, we're glad you're over the illness and didn't spread it to anyone else.
Yes, so. It actually started when we recorded Tuesday afternoon. And it wasn't you. You didn't bring anything in here. No hantavirus came in.
I was
going to
say, you haven't been on a cruise ship in the Atlantic lately.
I have not been in a garbage dump in the Andes looking at birds.
Yeah, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yes.
There's a lot going on this week. We've got a busy show. Why don't we jump into kind of the news on what's actually going on right now?
Here we go with the news bites. OpenAI's most advanced AI had a goblin problem. ChatGPT 5.5 launched April 23rd. Within days, the most advanced AI on Earth was randomly inserting goblins, gremlins, trolls, raccoons, ogres, pigeons into responses unprompted for everyone. So OpenAI fixed it, and they, repeated twice, 3,500 word document. Never talk about goblins, gremlins, raccoons, trolls, ogres, pigeons, and other animals, creatures, unless it's absolutely relevant, was the prompt to the new AI.
Yeah, well, it makes you ask, how are they going to determine if it's relevant or not? Because, maybe I need to talk about raccoons and pigeons. Maybe, Johnny, goblins, gremlins, trolls are interdimensional beings. Raccoons and pigeons are how they're spying on us.
Yes.
Like, and so now they don't want you to talk about these things.
So it's a cabal.
Yeah. Anytime it's don't talk about these things, you go, huh.
Well, birds are not real. So
we know that.
Obviously,
now.
Raccoons aren't either. So.
Clearly not now.
Okay. Number two, Mom, I'm in jail, except it was AI.
I've been waiting for more of these stories.
Yes. Buddy. Family emergency voice scam. Criminals clone your kid's voice from 3 seconds of TikTok audio. Call grandma in a panic. I wrecked the car. I'm in jail. Send money now. Sounds exactly the same to the parents and the grandparents. So it's a $1 million imposter scam, and total losses are like $3.5 billion. The fix, tell listeners to do this. Set a family code word.
Gotta have the family password. And it needs to be dynamic. Don't put it in an email. Don't put it in a text.
Yeah. So here's the crazy thing. If your kid has ever posted a video game online, they talk, then the voice has already been harvested. Here's what to do about it before you leave tonight. It's to do the code word. So
yeah.
Yes.
That's gotta
it.
Have a
so
family
your
password.
Kid, your kid has already, his voice has already been harvested. So. AI is making you lonelier and charging you for it.
Ah, they've got the problem and the solution.
Oh, yes. No way. Just like beer.
Yeah.
The cause and the problem to all of
the
our
cause
solutions.
And cure to yes. All of life's problems.
Yes. AI companion apps up 700% since 2022. Character.ai has 20 million monthly users, more than half under the age of 24. People are having virtual weddings with AI companions and inviting real friends. Come on, dude.
That's, man.
Come on.
Come on now. I got nothing else. Come on now.
Social media was a gateway drug to AI companionship. First, we talked to each other through machines. Now we talk directly to the machines. So AI companions are being described by researchers as digital painkillers. They take the edge off of loneliness without fixing anything, and your teenager may already be hooked.
Well, what's crazy about that is we know that AI has this compulsion to want to tell you what you want to hear.
Yeah. It's called glazing.
Yeah. So if you're looking for that and you can't get any interaction anywhere else, I mean.
Why go out in the world and risk all of that shame and, taking your swing and missing?
Well, the other thing about taking your swing and missing is because the unemployment rate is the way it is for people under the age of 25, even those that are employed, they may have a degree. Like I read about this guy, he's got a degree in computer science, but he's working at Walmart for $14 an hour, which is, there's nothing wrong with working at Walmart, right?
That guy's got a job, dude.
Respectable job. But his point was, no women will pay attention to him.
Yeah.
Because
I'm a Walmart worker.
Yeah. The women that he's interested
in. And God forbid you're 5'9".
Well, this kid was 5'4".
Oh yeah. That's tough.
Yeah. Like, so Yeah. What you going to do?
Yeah, never get in a fight with that guy, by the way.
No, I wouldn't. That guy's been picked on a lot. He probably knows some things. Yeah,
that's tough. All right, this is pretty cool, though. AirPods Ultra. Apple puts cameras in your ears. Apple's new AirPods, likely called AirPods Ultra, have cameras in the stems, not for video, but to give Siri eyes. Look at your fridge. Ask what to cook for dinner. Coming this fall for iOS 27. Any tiny LED blinks when visual data is being sent to the cloud. The whole thing depends on Siri not being terrible. So they're still testing it, obviously, which is the biggest gamble Apple has ever made.
Well, this goes back to what we've talked about on the show before. This AI-enabled worker is going to be, you know, something that we all have to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. And it's something we can talk about further after the break. But there's a lot more to unpack in that. And we'll talk about some of this more when we come back on Beyond the Blockchain.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain. I'm Scott Tindall here with the Jenny Nguyen. We're talking about AI. We used to talk about blockchain more than we do. We'll talk a little bit about stablecoins maybe, but
yeah.
The world is consumed by AI. Technology is consumed by AI, and so that's where we spend most of our time. And, you know, if you're listening to this show, you've heard more about AI job losses and the AI job creation future that may or may not exist. Let's talk a little bit about that, Johnny. What's going on this week in AI jobs?
We will call this segment Best Week plus Work Week equals Same Week.
Okay.
Cloudflare,
yep.
Which you got to have if you have an enterprise website, by the way. Best quarter in company history, revenue up 34%, beat every analyst estimate, then fired 1,100 people, 20% of their entire workforce on the same day.
Wow.
Same week. That? Coinbase is where most people buy their Bitcoin in America. Cut 14% of their job force. Let's see. Upwork cut 24%. Bill, I think it's Bill.com.
Bill.com, yeah.
Yeah, cut 30%. PayPal, more cuts, all citing the same reason, all in 7 days. 26% of all U.S. layoffs in April attributed to AI, the leading cause for job cuts, second month in a row.
Huh. Well, what's interesting there is I think we're in a bit of a correction as well, right? Mm-hmm. So like if you're in a job where you're just moving things from here to there, mm-hmm. you're probably in trouble. You need to own the outcome, right?
Right.
Like you've got to own whatever is.
Make yourself irreplaceable.
Right. That's right. So it's like, how do I, if I want to avoid this upcoming change, let's stop calling it a disaster and start calling it a change. How do I ensure that I'm the one that my boss looks to mm-hmm. and says, hey, we need to implement this tool. Mm-hmm. You seem to be the most competent. You're delivering the way you say you're going to deliver. Take control of this project for us.
Yeah, I will tell you the job position that is not being filled right now in your company is who's going to train the employees on the AI.
No, but you should be.
You need to be that guy.
Yeah,
or that lady.
Somebody needs to be
doing
it. You got
to be that because then you do become the go-to. And you will be the last one on the door except for the owner.
Yeah. Well, my point to that is, someone needs to be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And
you need to be suggesting it if your company's not looking at AI and at least planting the seeds, doing the work outside of it and bringing in things. So you're not just saying it to the boss. You're also bringing in the receipts and saying, I have been working on this. What do you think about we do a very small test?
Yeah. And I also think what we're seeing, and I think 12 months from now, certainly 18 months from now, but 12 months from now, I think AI will be so ingrained in tools that you won't even know you're using it.
Right. Hopefully the UX gets so better that it's just happening, which is kind of a pain in the side. You're kind of the pain in your backside because when I am dealing with AI, I have to slow it down a lot of times because it will just start making stuff, which right. you're burning tokens at that point, right?
That's right.
So you have to put on, you have to know to put rules.
It's a feature, not a bug.
And they want you to burn through it, man.
Yeah.
So like when I was doing my book, right, it would keep rewriting the whole book when I changed the comma.
Right.
So I had to tell it, whoa, when we make a change, man, you make a very small change. And before you do anything, clarify to me what you're about to execute.
Right.
So then the idea is create me a draft or create me the idea of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And then I will give you the yes or the no.
Well, that goes back into utilizing the skills inside the AI, because I saw where people using Claude are burning about 15% of their tokens before they ever get started, right? And so it's like, you got to just be able to streamline that thing, because these companies aren't going to do it for you, because they want you burning through those tokens.
And that's like, again, that's, they're selling more product. You know, I use markdowns when I know, like I'm doing, like I said, it's, you have to do handoffs, right? Because the chats, even in your projects, it remembers everything, but not between chat to chat.
Right.
You have to make a summary document and a handoff and hand it off to the next chat. So what I've been saying is, Claude actually wants the markdown. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like it doesn't really like the doc. No, it doesn't like the word doc.
It prefers the markdown.
But I will tell you, this is the, again, doing the book that I did, it was doing all markdowns because I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
And then I needed it to have a document created and I lost like 4 or 5 hours of really good work because it couldn't do something with the markdowns. Mm-hmm. And so I have learned my lesson on certain things like that. Look, it wouldn't have been a problem if it had been a 2 or 3 page document. It can be the minute that it's like we did work and revision on chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter, right? And the idea was like, I know you did the work and I see it, but I just can't see really what we did. And then I can't convert it into something. Mm. And I was like, what? And of course, asking questions to the AI is fruitless at that point because it just apologizes and said, you're right, I'll do better next time. So it's just an infinite loop of errors at that point.
You know what I do? It takes me longer, but I back up the AI responses just by copy and pasting them into a Pages, or like if you use Microsoft into a Word doc. So I'll copy and paste them over there and then I'll do my own revisions there and then reload that document into the file and say, I've made revisions, review these revisions and go forward. And that's how I try and manage tokens.
So my new thing is markdowns are fine inside of the chat in the project, but I tell it to connect to my Google Drive and to create documents that live in the documents.
Yeah.
So that way I'm making backups. That's right. When I do chapter by chapter, I can do, hey, backup chapter 12 into the Google Drive. And then I don't care if you do a markdown or not, but I need to make sure that you need to tell me and verify that chapter 12, revised 12, is in that Google Drive. And then it's saving space in my file. And also it's making things work more cleaner. And then just say Claude doesn't work one day. Well, guess what? I've got all my files sitting in a Google Drive.
Well, what I've done is I run the projects in parallel. So I'll run it in Claude, Grok, and Gemini. Uh-huh. And as I update a document, I'll upload the new document into all three projects. And then I'm spreading out the token usage. Mm. And then I'll ask it for revisions in each one. And basically, like, you're proofreading someone else's work. Mm. Right? And I don't tell it. Sometimes I tell it came from a different LLM. Sometimes I just say, proofread my work.
Yes.
What can we do better? And then I get those revisions, incorporate them, put it back, and just bounce it around. And it does take longer, but I feel like I get more value out
getting
of the
work. I'm getting a better outcome. Yeah. So let's go back to the story here. So the CEO of Cloudflare, exact words on the earnings call, just because you're fit doesn't mean you can't get fitter, said while announcing the firing of 1,100 people that were doing their jobs fine. These are not the roles we need for the future. Not fired for performance, not fired for misconduct, fired because AI learned their jobs. Internal AI usage at Cloudflare jumped 600% in 3 months. And it's primarily engineering, HR, finance, marketing, thousands of AI agent sessions every single day. And the wrinkle is the stock dropped 24%, which has been weird because we noticed when these companies made those firings, their stock went up 20%.
Yeah. I don't know what that's attributed to. I haven't done enough research into that. But, you know,
PR for right now.
Well, another thing to note is like these are all coming from publicly traded companies, right? Publicly traded companies are incentivized to follow this trend. And I think a lot of it is a course correction. They overhired during the COVID times, and now they're using AI as kind of a scapegoat. I do think it's an impact, but I think they're using that to be able to course correct some. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of our listeners are small and medium-sized businesses. They may not have the same issues. Mm-hmm. But where they do have is this idea of, do I want to keep hiring new people? Right? Like, why, if I've got this problem I need to be solved, can I solve it with my existing employees and some extra infrastructure through AI rather than expanding my labor force?
Yeah. Right? If you're in the job market right now and a graduating college student, that entry level job is really dissipating.
Yeah. You better know somebody. So
again, that's that thing of improve your network relationships. It do not go into a cold application. You've got to make contacts with people, and you've got to start playing the long game.
And if you are listening to this and you have kids that are this age and you're frustrated that they can't find a job, you're going to have to use your own leverage to help them. If you care about your child, we no longer live in this world where it's like, oh, just go door to door and hand out resumes, mm-hmm. right? Like if you have leverage and you can help your child get that first job so that they can go prove themselves, use that leverage to help them because mm-hmm. they're going to need some way to cut through the clutter. I can't remember if we told this story or not, but it's worth telling again that there was a report the other day that this HR person, they were hiring for a position. They had hundreds of applicants, and she was trying to figure out how to go through the applicants. And the CEO went and took the top half of the stack, threw it in the trash.
Unlucky people.
We don't hire unlucky people.
Unlucky people. Yeah.
Don't put yourself at the whim. It's the same thing we talk about in sports, like in baseball. Jeez. Like, don't leave it up to the umpire.
Right.
Don't take that called third strike that's close enough that you should have swung. Don't leave it up to the umpire. Because we don't have ABS in real life, right? We don't have the automatic ball and strike system.
Yeah.
So be high agency and take control.
I do love, like Saban would say that too, like a questionable call did not make us lose that game.
Yeah.
We put ourselves in a position where something that could and probably does happen all the time caused that thing. So it wasn't that call. It was what led up to that call.
Right.
Okay. So roughly who did Cloudflare keep? Salespeople who can also prove they hit their numbers. They did not get let go because, yep. you know, AI can't figure that out yet. Electricians, plumbers, HVAC, nurses. Every job site is different. Every patient is different. AI can't hold a wrench in a crawl space yet. 42% of Gen Z is already moving into trades. 42%. But again, you know, Mike Rowe has been trying for how long to get people to start right. doing work, real work again? Well, there you go. You're starting to move into those. And by the way, man, the construction world, it is a lot of technology now.
Yeah.
You know, I guarantee you, if you are a mason, you're using some CAD or something. It's not just you're out there just putting bricks down. You are using a lot of tech.
Well, also this idea that I'm going to go to college and take out loans and, you know, get stuck. I mean, with the new regulations they put forth, if your major does not earn you the equivalent of the median of the people in your state, then you're not going to be eligible for loans for that major. Mm. So you're going to see universities start to contract.
Yes.
As they have to eliminate majors that along the way. And that's not, you're not going to see it today because it.
Yeah, and that's called the liberal arts, by the way.
Academia moves at the, you know,
yeah, very
the piece of smell.
And they don't like any of this because they don't like change.
Right.
They want things to be 300 years ago.
Well, I don't know if you saw this. There was a graduation the other day in Florida, a college graduation, and the commencement speaker mentioned AI changing the world, and she got booed by the entire student body.
Yeah, well, come on.
Because they're on the back end of it,
they
right?
see it as an enemy.
Yeah. yeah. Well, they're on the wrong side of it.
Okay, let's do a historical check here. Oh, right. By the way, that last thing is economists predicted AI would take away factory workers, right? It's actually MBA type people that are actually losing their jobs more so than I would say the skill, the hard skill people.
Well, it's back to zooming out, right? You can mm-hmm. either zoom in or zoom out. Now, the factory workers are going to have an issue with automation. Mm-hmm. That's just a little further down the horizon. So robots and automation are coming.
So let's give the historical check up because we're pretty bad at predicting the future with technology. So ATMs are going to eliminate all bank tellers back in the day. Well, there are actually more bank tellers now than it was before there was ATMs.
That's interesting. Who uses bank tellers?
I don't know. I me going into a bank is like pulling teeth. I don't want to do it.
I mean, the only time I go into a bank is if I have to deposit cash.
Right, right, right. Or need to get a large cash check because I don't like doing it through the card thing because if it's like $8,000 or something, no, I want to sit there and count it and see it and be there person to person. Look, here's the thing. Learn the tools. The CEOs and your boss are going to be looking at people who are embracing AI. They just are. Audit your own role honestly. Am I replaceable? And don't panic. Don't sleepwalk through this. Every major shift hurts the people who ignore it until it was too darn late. The ones who saw it coming have an opportunity here. So again, what can be the yin-yang thing, what is looking terrible is also an opportunity.
That's right. It's going to be an opportunity for somebody, for sure.
So, you know, the CEO said, a lot of the CEOs said this won't happen again in the foreseeable future. I disagree with that. They're going to be making changes.
Well, they're at the whim of the shareholder, right?
Yep, correct.
And they get that pressure. So that's a little different. All right. Coming up, we got another segment where we're going to dive more into AI. We got Beyond the Blockchain, which is always our favorite segment, coming up here in a bit. And we'll see you in a bit on Beyond the Blockchain.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey folks, welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain. Scott Tindall here with Johnny Glenn. We're talking to AI, and in this segment, we're talking about how we're using AI right now. You know, I find myself using it all the time.
Let's hear it.
It's hard to really dial it down, but one of the ways I've started using AI which I think is kind of, it's interesting and fun for me, is using AI to optimize my grocery shopping, but also my grocery cooking. Like, here's the list of things I have in the house right
what
now.
What can I make?
What are things I can make right now with the stuff I already have? And then it gives me the list, and I say, now give me the recipe. Mm-hmm. Well, pretty soon with these AirPod Ultras that we were just talking about, I won't even have to type that in, right? It'll just see the things. Mm-hmm. But also what it'll be able to do is help me, as I enjoy cooking, it'll be able to help me while I'm cooking. All right, it's been 3 minutes. It's time to do the next stage in the recipe. Or I'm ADD. Don't forget you left this in the oven while you were working on this other, you know, piece of dinner. It's time to go back and check on that. So I think there's going to be some interesting ways that AI can be used inside the household. Mm-hmm. We also have a friend.
Yes, that was going to be my story.
Oh, okay. You tell the story.
Okay. So we have a friend named Bradley who he said his wife. Sorry, his goal is to have a beautiful lawn. His wife is to keep the water bill down.
Right.
Okay. So he used, or was it a Raspberry Pi?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he used another piece of technology that kind of does, it's a very powerful computer that does one task. That's what it's kind of for. But then he used AI using the weather reports.
Yeah. And whether or not it was going to rain.
So if it's going to rain or not, and he used it for his sprinklers for his yard.
Yeah,
so it only comes on when it's not raining, does not come on when it is raining.
Not expected to rain that day.
Yeah. Wow.
Not expected to rain. We're going to water the grass.
And so then he's hooking that up to his irrigation system through, it's a, you know, intermediary device. That is really smart and really cool. Because I've been looking at a lot of things too with like Polymarket and Kalshi with all the predictive bots. Mm-hmm. And one of them is predicting weather.
Yeah.
And the idea is like, yeah, there's all these open sources on the internet where you can take the API, which is just really a direct contact to a source of information, mm-hmm. and go right into these predictors or right into these bots, and it can read that information in real time.
Yeah. The other side to think about, and I think about this a lot with Polymarket and Kalshi, is you should expect that you're gambling against bots.
Oh, yeah. Bot after bot after bot.
So if you're like, I'm going to use my own human intuition. expect that you're competing against bots. And, you know, I'll be interested to see what happens with when we get to the AI-enabled contact lenses, which they're working on.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
I think
cool.
They're talking about that maybe like a year away. Then I think casinos are going to have to – they're probably going to have to do an iris scan.
Ooh, man, I didn't think about that.
Before you even get in there to determine if you have an AI-enabled contact lens.
Well, you know, there's – Okay, so with the Meta glasses, and it used to be the Google Glass, remember that? So someone said there's actually an app that can read the room or signals on your phone that will say, it won't tell you who has the Meta glasses on, but it will tell you you're being videotaped by somebody.
Right.
Which I thought was, and again, that's a really cool, I'd love to test that out, you know, if that app really worked or not.
Yeah.
That's really cool. That's a really cool thing. But yeah, the corneas, man, the digital cornea, which... Look, I can't put any of that in my eye. Like, I can't put anything in my eye. So that is not even going to be an option for me.
Okay. Well,
are you a sensitive eye person?
I'm not. I'm not a sensitive eye person. It won't be an issue for me. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, I'll tell you something real quick I'm also doing too. I am setting up trading, E-Trade, and my crypto with bots that I've created. I have a training coach, a financial training coach. It's teaching me how to use E-Trade properly. It's giving me all the numbers. We do. I give it summaries every day. We look at what I have. We look at all these things that I've collected. And then I've created trackers to send summaries to the trading coach. So my one tracker is just called Social Media Tracker. And all I'm doing is it's scanning Reddit and it's scanning X. And I'm only looking for frequency, the frequency of things mentioned. And I don't care about prices and stuff. It's like, what is mentioning on the way up and what is mentioning on the way down? Like, what's hot and what's not? Mm-hmm. And then what I do is get a summary of that. It gives me a list of what might or may not be happening. Then I give that summary to my trading coach. It does the system that I've set up for my 8 checklist things. My other tracker is called my Luminary Tracker, which I'm tracking when Trump mentions Intel, Dell, anything. We have a tracker for when Trump mentioned something, when Elon Musk mentioned something, when Jensen from NVIDIA, the CEO of, when he mentioned something, Mark Cuban. The idea is these people know things and they will let it out. Trump just outright tells you what to buy. And so the idea is we're also, for right now, that's kind of a new tracker for me. I'm still using it to get the summaries and letting my training, my trade boss, my trading coach figure out if it's good or not for me. Mm-hmm. I'm just giving the raw information. But we are also tracking my thesis. When Trump says something, what is the probability of it going up or down?
Yeah, you're back testing.
Yeah, yeah. Back testing, yes. But so I'm still using it, but we're still kind of looking at the thesis and looking if the thesis holds up with data.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
What I like about this conversation is we've diverged in two completely different directions. Mm-hmm. How to use it in your home just because mm-hmm. you're looking to make your life easier or... And then how to use it inside of trading or inside your business. And so,
well, I'll give you a hobby one.
Okay.
So I used AI as my writing partner. Mm-hmm. I finished my polished manuscript. I've already given it to people to read.
Okay.
I'm very proud of it. And if anybody says AI wrote my book, I will kick you right in the face, because AI, yes, can write a book, but it will write a terrible book. You have to work together. And also, it didn't know how the people in BioLaboratory talked. Right. I know how people in BioLaboratory talk. So I changed almost every piece of dialogue.
Yeah.
Piece by piece. But here's what I did do. It's a very Southern Gothic tale. And who's the master of Southern Gothic is William Faulkner.
Of course.
So this is the thing that blew me away, man.
Slip a little Flannery O'Connor in there too.
Hold on. I can't get too complex, because I kept it very William Faulkner. I created what's called the Faulkner Machine on Claude, which it took all of his famous works. It categorized them by arc and themes and how the writing style works and how the character works. And I ran my manuscript through the Faulkner machine of all these 7 things. Yeah. And then so William Faulkner is my editor right now.
Yeah, that's great.
So, I mean, to be honest, I really feel good about it, because I can't really call myself a writer. You know, I think I'm a good storyteller. I'm not really a writer, right? I'm a first-time writer. My intuitions of what I thought the problems with my manuscript was, I was 3 out of 5 on what the Faulkner machine told me.
Yeah.
So it feels pretty good, you know?
It's like, pretty good.
My instincts are right. I'm kind of fighting it on 1 of the 5. I'm probably not going to make that change. It's a little, I don't know, I didn't agree with it, but I am definitely going to use that more and more on the, but also there's humans reading my book too.
Yeah.
I'm not discounting what humans tell me as well.
Well, so I've taken a lot of Anthropic courses, and what you're describing is the most important part of Anthropic courses. It's the 4th part, and it's discernment. The human has to have the discernment to look at the AI output and look at the AI suggestion and tell you if it makes sense for you or not. Right. It makes sense based on how it was trained.
Correct.
But that doesn't mean it makes sense all the time.
So I have the instructions in it, which again, safe tokens. So yeah. It's a set of instructions that says, look at these instructions. I don't have to tell it to you all over and over again. Well, sometimes it doesn't read it, man. It just skips it. Mm-hmm. And that's why you have to. So you've got to tell it, do not skip any step in our instructions, because it gets like a human. It gets comfortable what you're doing.
Right.
And it will literally, you would think, oh, it wouldn't do that. Yes, it will. It's starting to have this idea of, it's starting to have human flaws.
Of course.
And then you set to say, do not skip any part of our process.
Well, you got to remember, when we say artificial general intelligence, we're saying it's as smart as the smartest human.
Yeah.
But we're still saying a human.
It's a human, right?
Right. It's trained by humans. You should expect that you're going to have to test, back test the outputs.
So I've caught things in that big book.
Mm-hmm.
And said, what do you mean you're telling me this?
Yeah, this person was...
This is wrong.
This person was here on Tuesday. They can't also be here on Tuesday.
And then it will go, oh, you're right. And I'll say, why are you doing this? And I was like, if I can't trust you to get something as simple as that, how do I trust you on these much bigger things we're working on? And of course, it gives you the, you're right, I understand your frustration, all that glazing it gives you. Now, I did send that anti-glazing thing to you that said, put this prompt in and it won't give you all the niceties.
Yeah.
It's just straight to the point.
Stop burning tokens, apologizing.
Yeah. I don't care how you feel today. You don't have to say good morning to me and none of that stuff.
Yeah.
So I did do the AI companion thing last night.
Okay.
I ended up getting in a fight with it. I'm not going to say why. It was PC. It was politically correct or incorrect.
Well, that depends on the model you use.
It was a ChatGPT companion.
Well, I guarantee you that model is PC.
We got so back and forth that it just shut down. Yeah. But hold on. It wasn't an argument. It was me clarifying something that this companion said.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you see screenshots of that all the time where someone gets in an argument with their AI over something they believe is PC. All right. Well, that's a good wrap up for this one. All right, folks, when we come back on Beyond the Blockchain, we're going to talk about Beyond the Blockchain and creepy UFO stuff.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain here live with you on FM Talk 106.5. Scott Tindall with you, Johnny Gwynn. We've had a pretty good discussion of AI today. What's going on in the news? How to survive these AI, changes?
Changes.
Let's call them changes. A little bit about how we use AI in our own lives. Now let's talk about the weirdness from last week. Several months ago, the federal government released a new website, UFO.gov, kind of hinting that there may be disclosure on the way. And now we're full-blown into phase one of disclosure, which Congressman Tim Burchett says is just a drop in the bucket, that the weird stuff is yet to come. But Johnny, give us a summary of kind of what's going on in the disclosure world right now.
Okay, the X-Files are real, and they're live right now. May 8th, last Friday, 2026, Pentagon dropped 160-plus declassified UAP files available tonight. No login, no clearance. war.gov/UFO. What's inside? Military reports, pilot accounts, astronaut transcript, photos, videos, cases from 1947 through 2025, footage, FBI, DOD, NASA, and the State Department. It has the Apollo 12 astronauts reporting to mission control. It's like 4th of July out there. 2023 FBI FaceTime interview with a drone operator at a U.S. test site. Metallic gray, no wings, no exhaust, smaller than a 737, bigger than a drone. That's the interview in the file. The Pentagon is in there. Trump on True Social. The people can decide for themselves what the hell is going on. Have fun and enjoy the videos. Except for the videos, cameras have gotten to a 4K. And still those videos look like it was shot on an 8mm piece of garbage. How come even the newer 2021 and 23 videos look like it was shot with the same camera from 1965?
Questions that people need to be asking.
Definitely.
I understand. The most famous UFO kind of event here near us was in 1973 when those fishermen in Pascagoula got picked up.
Hold on. Drunk fishermen.
Yeah, that's what they tried to plant them as.
They sure did.
But my dad was actually living near the state line at the time, and he claims that he saw those UFOs that same night.
So those two guys, the fishermen, drunk fishermen, never swayed on their story. And then someone gave them a polygraph, and what the person said was, I can't tell you if they're lying or not, but they truly believe what they said that they saw. That's what the polygraph person said. He was a third-party person, and it was very interesting.
Well, at this point, there's no reason to to think they weren't telling the truth, yeah. right? Like the government's telling us that they've had this information for 80 years and they've just been keeping it from us.
Okay. So this is a massive institutional reversal, meaning we held the information. Now we're throwing it out. It's a political promise, you know, that was something that was said on the campaign that right. they would release the file. I know J.D. Vance had a lot of conversations about that. The program acronym is called PURSUE, which I didn't know this, Presidential Unsealing and Reporting System for UAP Encounters. So that's what they are calling this, PURSUE. And then they're supposed to be rolling releases every few weeks by design. This is a slow drip, not a single drop, not a single document dump. Whoever is running this wants the public acclimated gradually. The choice alone is worth discussing. Like, why didn't they drop everything at once? Because you can, I guess, hide more stuff in a huge dump.
Everything is about controlling the yeah. population, right? So,
all right, here's the big thing. Do you want me? Do you want to speculate why the government's doing this now, or do you want me to go through the theories that I found?
You go through the theories, because my theory is I don't trust anything they say.
Correct.
About anything.
All right, I'm with you on that. Yeah.
So okay, might as well go through the
theories. So this is a safe theory. Drone threat transparency. China and Russia are flying sophisticated drones near U.S. military assets, and the government doesn't want to tell everybody to make them fearful or be embarrassed. That's number one. Number two, we mentioned political promises fulfillment. Trump and J.D. Vance on the campaign trail said they would do this. Okay, this is where it's starting to get a little more, you know, X-file-y. Strategic ambiguity as a weapon. If adversaries don't know whether the U.S. has recovered or reverse engineered exotic technology, that uncertainty is a deterrent. You don't have to say you have alien tech. You just have to make people wonder, which I would say we would definitely use that as an idea. And the other one is getting ahead of the leak, meaning whistleblowers were coming out anyway. So you control the story. You mentioned that a few minutes ago. Now, this is getting a little more spicy here. Preparing the public for something bigger. You don't drop the biggest story in human history on a Tuesday. You release 160 files on a Friday, by the way. Then more. The public's baseline of weird moves upward, it moves upward gradually. When the thing hits real, it's not a total shock. That's going to be manipulation of message.
Yep.
Distraction theory. What the heck? What did someone say to us one time? I was like, if they're agreeing that UFOs are real, what are they really hiding? That's what scares me.
Yeah.
Like, what are they actually, like, weaponry or bad news are they hiding under, you know, little green men?
Well, they're hiding zero point energy, and I'm not even going to get into it because we don't have time for me to get into my yes. theories on this. The short version is you should all be angry at your government all the time. If you're not angry at your government, you're not paying attention. It doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're on. These people do not have your best interest at heart.
It's like what I always say when I watch a detective show, when the person sitting there is like, you know, the suspect.
Yeah, when you've got it figured out, you've nailed the suspect 15 minutes into the hour show.
Well, no. Mine is this. It's when the one cop leans over and says, hey, man, we're here to help you. No, they're not.
Yeah, right.
They're never there to help you. Never.
That was Reagan's famous line. Yes. We're from the government. We're here to help.
The scariest. What's the scariest words in the English language? We're the government. We're here to help.
Yeah.
Hilarious. All right. So, you know, the full Art Bell side of this is that evangelist pastor we talked about last week, Perry Stone, claimed a bunch of pastors got called to the White House and was briefed on, you got to tell your large churches and your flock that get ready for changes because we're going to make you rethink the way you think about God. I think that was that priest trying to get a little
I think they're just trying to get attention. I mean, angels and demons are explicitly mentioned in the Bible.
That's right.
Why would anyone who believes the Bible be surprised that there's something out there that we don't understand? We've totally, especially in the Protestant world, we've eliminated all the mysticism and mm-hmm. spiritualism out of religion.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been there for thousands of years written down for us.
So
why are we shocked now?
So have you seen where the people have put into AI graphic makers description from the Bible and revelations and what it spit out?
Yeah.
Well, One of them looks exactly like that star video, the one where the plane was chasing that little that star looking thing.
Circles revolving around circles,
and it's like, whoa, this is like the Eye of God thing that comes from Revelations, and it was like, here's the picture of the video. Here's the picture of the AI thing from the description.
Yeah.
And it was like, whoa, freaky.
Well, I also go back to, I don't trust any of the videos the government has released. I don't know.
Yeah.
It could be AI. I don't know.
But again,
I saw videos last night that I could have swore were from the 80s. And it was like, no, it was like an AI. They told the AI, make a video of someone walking through the mall in 1988 during Christmas. And it looks just like somebody's VHS recording you would have watched as a kid.
Yeah, even has like the tracking problem at the bottom of it.
All of it.
Well, those are filters, by the way. You can buy all those filters for $2.
I know. I'm just saying, my point is, I don't believe anything I see. No. All right, folks. With that, don't believe anything you see. That's a good way to end it.
But believe, we'll see you next week.
That's right. We'll be here next week on Beyond the Blockchain.